Haunted Lantern presents. The Starport Inn. Episode 18.
So that's the whole story then. Y'all saw a big tree, found a nearby cave with a backpack, Chad got set on fire, and then ran, start to finish?
More or less, yeah.
And you say that happened in less than an hour? I mean, it don't sound like much, but y'all were gone almost half the day.
My tape recorded less than an hour, and you know I don't turn it off if it's something important. Quiet car ride, sure, but not exploring an unmarked cave that has screaming coming from it.
No, I know, I believe you. It's just, coming from you, who I do trust, it puts some things in perspective. You ain't the first person we found out there that's been real confused when we tell them time has passed. I figured it was a combination of people who just can't tell time for beans and no small amount of intoxicants, not to mention how hard it gets to track time when the swamp's dark and all. Should have figured it was something spooky by this point, though.
Yeah, at least we know for sure now that apparently the normal passage of time and the swamp aren't friends. Complicates things, for sure, but it's useful information. Especially since we can confirm it with my recording and it's not just my word. Also, tangentially related, what was Chase saying about shark vertebra and that Chad hadn't brought his dog whistle? Like, that made a difference?
Shit, I thought you'd figured that out after you asked about the little stick doll. Didn't realize it needed spelling out. Well, how do I start this? Well, we ain't dumb, you know that much by now. We might not go looking for ghosts, and we might not have known there were ghosts when we ran into them, but this town's been aware that it ain't really right here for a long time. I think the first inklings were with sailors. You ever met any? They're superstitious as hell, even now, and rumor has it that, since this town's been a hub for sailors since the beginning, they brought it here first. All we know for sure is, sometime in the 1800s, people started carrying around little charms for good luck. Horseshoes, rabbit's feet, all sorts of shit. Back then, they thought these little trinkets would keep them safe, offer good fortune, all that. And apparently, this seems to actually make a difference, or at least people thought it did. Luck ain't really quantifiable, but there's definitely old record of newspapers talking about how it seemed to help. So more people started finding their own lucky stuff. Nowadays, most locals got something lucky on them. It's varied as hell now, of course, because it ain't so much the item that's lucky as it is the reason you have it. But we all got something. Like that little stick doll I got. This little thing. You asked about it before. This is mine.
So you really think this brings you good luck?
I mean, kinda. I think it's less that anyone thinks these things bring specific good luck and more they keep the bad luck out, you know? We got enough shit going on in this town on the daily that I don't think people want to know what bad luck really looks like. Besides, my girls made this. I keep it on my desk, and I know they want me to be lucky because of it, and if that means I'm luckier or just thinking smarter and reading it as luck, it really don't matter. For most people, less bullshit happens when they've got their thing in the right place, be that on their person or somewhere special, and regardless of whether it's real or not, we kind of collectively decided not to ask too many questions, case we'd spoil it by looking.
You all have a very odd habit of blatantly ignoring the supernatural, and yet you somehow keep getting away with it.
Yeah, well, we do right by what we know about, and we're polite enough to what we don't. It's just easier to let bygones be bygones rather than get involved in shit.
That's fair. I've never been one for wearing representative symbols of things, be it religion or luck.
We could find you something if you wanted. It would probably have to be something more traditional, since I don't think much of anything down here has enough meaning to work well, but I could find something. You might need one, considering how much shit you get into. And then you take it back to your partner. Might help him, too.
No, no. I'm fine. I feel like part of that kind of thing is believing in it, and while I don't doubt the stories you tell are accurate, I don't really believe in that kind of thing myself. More power to you, of course, but I'll be fine without it.
Okay, but you remember I offered when shit hits the fan later.
Anyway, since we're kind of stuck here waiting until the tide goes back out, we should give the audio a listen, so you can see what we were hearing. I have a couple of clean seconds I can pull up.
Yeah, and then I'll get a map of the area down so you can mark where you think you were when you found this cave. That ain't the most accurate map ever, but I can tell when the tide'll be out at the very least, so we know when we can head back there.
So here's the sound we heard.
Help! Hey!
Oof, yeah, I can see why you were raring to get back in there, chat aside. Considering they got the strength to bitch about it, they'll probably be fine till the tide's out. Though it ain't like we got a choice about it. Now, this ain't the best map, but it's got the landmarks. Here's Service Road 8, where we came back, and here is where we let you off to walk. You think you can guess where you ended up?
Is that supposed to be the one L-shaped tree?
Yep, you passed that?
Yeah, we paused at it for a second before heading slightly right from it. I think we're probably about here. It's not too far from the service road, and it seems to be the right distance from the tree. Wasn't much of a visible cave, to be fair, so we'll probably have to search for it again proper anyways, but it's a good start.
And the area is all the same tide line, so it won't be partially flooded out when we go. Looks like high tide was about 3 hours ago. Means half tide is in about 3 hours. Should be out from under the water at about sunset, then. See these lines here, the blue ones? That's roughly where the tide lines reach every hour out from high tide. Makes it easier to go into the swamp when you know what parts are going to flood out when.
Sunset? It's definitely a wait. You think they'll be okay out there?
As I said, Agent, we ain't got a choice. That cave entrance is most likely surrounded by a couple feet of water on all sides, considering the marked elevation. Not only do we not really have the stuff to get out there, it's gator country. It ain't safe to go wading in gator country.
Do you not have, like, a fan boat or some kind of boat to get out there? Since half your turf is underwater, it feels like something you should have.
One, I ain't got the budget to maintain a boat. Cars rust less and take less convincing to write off as necessary. Two, one woman down here actually does own a fan boat we use sometimes. She and her husband run the marina on the island. But it doesn't fit back in the swamp wilds well. Too many trees too close together.
Then I guess we wait. Wait and probably figure out what we're going to do to stop a small ball of flaming gas with the cognitive reasoning of a toddler.
Well, about that. I got an idea.
I can't believe that your bright idea was a fire extinguisher.
It makes sense, don't it? Ball of fire meet fire extinguisher.
It does. I just can't decide if it's ridiculous because it's obvious or ridiculous because we're carting multiple fire extinguishers into a very damp swamp.
You'd think being damp would help, but it don't. Not really. The surface don't burn, sure, but there's layers of peat under there that go up like nobody's business. What's ridiculous is that we're the only ones brave enough to come out here for this. I know it's been a weird month, but I thought my officers were braver than this. Instead, they're all chicken while we cart around all this shit. And it ain't even the worst thing we've seen this month, either. Though, to be fair, if I had the option, I'd want to avoid that, too. That the screams?
Yep, that's them. It gets worse the closer we get. I don't know why, but having listened to the recording, it's so much less clear here what we're listening to. If I didn't know what I was hearing, I wouldn't think it was people.
Well, let's put pedal to the metal either way. Don't got long before the tide'll start coming back in, and we gotta account for the fact that you lost time last time. Bag's still here. Looks untouched, more or less. Sorry, just a bit jumpy. Don't really know what to look for, you know?
Play, 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 play!
That is the thing to look for.
Hey! Help!
Oh my god, Frohickey, can you shut up? No one is coming to our fucking rescue!
You don't know that, Cass. Stop being a bitch.
Hey, don't call her a bitch.
Yeah, regardless, I still object to anyone being called a bitch here.
Hello? Police! Hey! Right then. I figure you're the lot that's been screaming their heads off in here, and who left the backpack outside.
Yes, sir. We were going to go back for the bag, but the caves got us turned around too quickly to go get it. We didn't intend to leave it behind, sir, I promise.
Littering ain't the problem here, son. You remember that one group at the blog? That's these kids.
Great.
Those three run the blog, the other three just sort of hang out with them.
Of course. Okay, so, what happened? Explain.
Well, Cass was dating Fred, but when we got here, Langley caught Cass making out with Asia, and now she won't talk to Fred or Asia. Byers won't stop trying to play peacemaker while Langley keeps trying to play matchmaker with Asia and Cass, and I've just been trying to get someone to get us out of here.
No, I mean, what happened with the cave? Why are you all out here? How did you find it? As far as I understand, this place is unmarked.
It's a very technical explanation. I don't know if you'll really follow it.
Try me, kid.
Well, we wanted to run an experiment of sorts involving a Ouija board in a neutral location that showed strong and consistent EMF readings, since none of us want the risk of using such a device in our own homes. Not to mention that most of us don't have substantial EMF readings in our home in the first place.
This entire area registered as an EMF hotspot.
Means there's ghosts.
Yes, I am aware of what that is supposed to mean.
So we set out as a group in order to document the phenomena that we expected to occur. Of course, myself and my colleagues, Frohickey and Byers, are the primary researchers in this investigation. Fred is our driver. Cass originally joined our organization due to the fact of being Fred's girl, but she's proven to be incredibly intuitive when it comes to locating supernatural phenomena. And while I hate to admit it, Asia has made herself useful as our voice of law and reason, and while her job is more often to discourage our adventures than aid in them, I cannot ignore the usefulness of her skills.
We got to the cave this morning, just as the tide was retreating from the area. We stored our phones in the backpack to cut down on stray EMF readings, and we brought first aid to be practical about it. But we otherwise didn't plan on staying particularly long, so we were traveling light. All we wanted to do was find a dry spot in order to perform our experiments with enough clearing for personal safety and a strong enough EMF reading. But before we could find such a spot, it began to pour down rain.
Much of our equipment is electrical in nature, so overdue exposure to rain is not something we can work with. Thus, we ducked into the closest overhanging structure, the cave. As you have rightly indicated, this cave isn't mapped on any local or satellite maps, so we weren't technically aware of it until we came upon it. Of course, on entering the cave, we found the EMF reader spiked, so we decided to use our unfortunate circumstances to our advantage.
So, you decided to explore the cave and then you couldn't leave?
More or less, yes. Though, it was less couldn't leave and more that we got this deep and then the other thing happened and getting out stopped being a priority for them.
Alright, well, leaving definitely needs to become a priority right now. I don't care who is or isn't speaking to each other, we need to go.
I think we gotta add post haste to that order, because, I think the cave is on fire.
Right. We move now.
We're not done with our experiments. We still have valuable data to collect.
That was not a suggestion. We are leaving. Move.
Play, 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 play.
Go. Frohickey.
Play, 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 play.
All right, head count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Good, we're all here.
You okay? Did you get hurt?
No, I'm okay. Serves me for not bringing my stick figure, though.
Froakie, you know we never go on a hunt without all precautions in place, and that includes having all our totems in the correct places. You're lucky Agent Weaver went back to save you.
What did you do, by the way? That thing recoiled from you like you'd burn it to bits.
I didn't do anything, honestly. I ran up. Frohickey was in the little pool. I grabbed him up, and it just didn't want to get near me. I didn't do anything, though.
Yeah, it just hissed at us, and it wasn't because of me, I can tell you that.
Huh. Maybe you don't need nothing lucky, then. You're just damn lucky on your own.
You know, maybe I am.
Alright, all six of you, I need you to come over here for a minute. We're gonna have a chat about the fact that none of you scanned your cards in, so I didn't know you kids were out here. You know what kind of trouble you're gonna be in when we get back
to Turtle Shell?
I'm telling all six of you.
Oh, right.
Fred, don't make that face at me.
I forgot that I had that.
The Starport Inn. Written and produced by J.D. Dennis and K.D. Lalonde, with music by Liam P. Vaughn. Find us at linktree.com/thestarportinn, or email us at thestarportinn@gmail.com. This has been a Haunted Lantern production. Thanks for listening.